Ramsey TV.
I've got a shocking show today, shocking information from the scriptures. It's been there for a long time, but maybe you've never seen it. I'm going to point it out to you today. In the meantime, the meeting in Mansfield, Missouri has grown to such proportions that Michael Knotts had to move it from his home into a wedding hall. That's right, a banquet hall type affair, kind of like what, kind of like what Belshazzar had in Babylon, right? The great wedding feast. So I'm going to give you more details tomorrow about the schedule. I'll just tell you briefly now. No, I'm not. I'm going to tell you tomorrow. I got too much to tell you today. This is Martin Zender. You're at MZTV. I live at the edge of the bottom of pretty much everything. So what I'm going to tell you today, I'm going to make a correlation for you between Romans 11 and the book of Revelation. After I get this hair out of my mouth. Oh, you remember that balloon I showed you yesterday that was sitting up there against the wall? Yeah, well, during the night, it got sucked down, apparently. It went into my room, which is right there. I can't point to it. I don't know what's going on with this camera. It went in. I heard this rumbling, this kind of crunching thing going at like 2 in the morning. It woke me up. Like, who's it? Like, who's in my room? And I was swatting around, trying to reach for the demon or whatever it was. And the balloon had descended from the ceiling, gone into my bedroom, came right next to my bed, right next to my bed. It was starting to snuggle up to me or kill me. I don't know which. I got so pissed off at that thing. I just tried to shove it between my bedstand and the bed. I finally got it lodged and I went back to sleep. But today I'm going to ceremoniously puncture it. Yeah, I should do that in front of you. I should puncture it for you. In fact, I think I will. This was a gift given to me by my dog, Charles, on my birthday a few days ago. I appreciate the sentiment. However, before this thing kills me, it's been nice. Thank you anyway. Now it's been reduced to a potato chip bag and will be discarded forthwith. Okay, let's define fear. We're talking about Paul's statement to the nations, telling them to fear. Do you remember that one? Let me refresh your memory. Romans 11, 9 through 19 and 21. You will be declaring then, boughs are broken out that I may be grafted in. Ideally, by unbelief, are they broken out? That is Israel and her tribes. Yet you stand in faith. Be not haughty, but fear. This is a national fear, not individual. For if God spares not the natural boughs, neither will he be sparing you. I got big information on this. Neither will he be sparing you. And where the fulfillment of that prophecy is in the scriptures. So be not haughty, but fear. But fear. Is this individual fear? Or are we supposed to fear for our salvation? The Greek-English keyword concordance in the back of your Concordant Literal New Testament defines fear this way, quote, an emotion excited by impending evil. Impending evil. Let me ask you, if you find any impending evil in Paul's statement of Romans, the same letter, Romans 5, verses 1 through 2, this is what he says. Being then justified by faith, we may be having peace toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace toward God. Did you hear that? I should have said it like this. Being then justified by faith, we may be having peace toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have the access also by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we may be glorying in expectation of the glory of God. Oh, this is peace, not fear. So before writing in chapter 11 to be not haughty but fear, obviously he's not talking about individuals. In the same letter, chapter 8, verse 15, Paul says, quote, for you did not get slavery's spirit to fear again, but you got the spirit of sonship in which we are crying, Abba, Father. Abba is apparently the equivalent of daddy. It's a term of endearment. To never fear again. Never fear again. So if you've come up through Romans 5, 6, 7, 8, you ought to be established in these verses, these facts. And when you get to Romans 11, Paul suddenly say, fear. Be not haughty, but fear, fear, fear. Either Paul's a double-talking idiot and contradicts himself in the same letter, or he's talking about something completely different, or someone completely different in Romans 11, and he is. He's now talking about national fortune, not individual fortune. And now this, ladies and gentlemen. Romans 11:21. For if God spares not the natural boughs, that is, he chopped Israel off her own olive tree, neither will he be sparing you. What does he mean, you? You, the nations, have taken Israel's place temporarily as the light bringers of the world. This is a temporary situation, as I just said. And the nations are due to be hewn out of the olive tree. It's not too hard to do it because they're not even the natural boughs. It's been a miracle that the nations have been sustained as a wild graft onto the olive tree that's Israel. It's a wild graft. It's like a miracle. It shouldn't have taken. But apart from a miracle of God, it wouldn't have taken. So the miracle of God is that other nations have been given an advantage over Israel temporarily, and that they are now the pronouncers of the word of God. They now run the world. Do you know how humiliating that is for an Israelite? It's in them to run the world. That's why Israelite types are so good at business. They're so good at situations dealing with money. They're so good at rules and legislation, and because they're designed to rule the world. It's in them. It's in them. So how frustrating, how humiliating for them that the rest, that control of the world and that financial dexterity, that governance skill for governance has been delegated temporarily to other nations. It's a huge humiliation for Israel. And so this is why the other nations have a tendency to vaunt themselves over Israel. Look at us, look at us. Paul's blowing that up in Romans 11, blowing it up. He says, this is the natural tree, and the fathers are down there in the roots, and actually they came with the scriptures came through them. The Messiah came through them, who's also your Savior, died on the cross for the entire world. Anyway, they support you. You're a wild graft. You don't even belong on the olive tree, yet God miraculously glued you on somehow. I mean, it's super glue or duct tape or something, but you somehow. But don't worry. I mean, fear. Nationally, because God is going to cut you off like he did to Israel. And how do you think, how easy it's going to be to restore the natural boughs? He's been holding you on by duct tape and super glue. So now the natural boughs are going to go in there quite nicely. And here it is. If God spares not the natural boughs, neither will he be sparing you. Romans 11:21. The nations are due to be hewn out of the olive tree. If indeed they started with some semblance of faith at the beginning, that game's over. Not even the great U.S. of A., who claims to be the most spiritual Christian, the old Judeo-Christian heritage nation. It's all a crock at this point. Maybe early on, yes, maybe there was some faith. But now, no. It's all a hoax. It's all a front. It's all a deception. It's a lie. The people don't realize it. It's a deception. They don't realize it's a lie, but they're worshiping, of course, the false God, and they're worshiping a different Jesus. They're of a different spirit. They're of those to whom the Lord will say, depart from me, workers of lawlessness. They will say, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that in your name? But these people who are saying this are going to be hewn out. Paul is referring to the fact that God will not be sparing the nations, but will instead, are you ready for this? Here's the shot. Dismantle them. God will dismantle the wild grafts at the end of this eon to make way for the rightful rulers of earth. That is a huge statement. I'm going to read it again. This is my statement. I wrote this in my newsletter. Paul is here referring to the fact that God will not be sparing the nations, but will instead dismantle them at the end of this eon. Soon, because we're at the end of the eon, to make way for the rightful rulers of earth. and the rightful rulers of earth are Israelites. Faithful Israelites. They're not faithful now, but God is going to put his spirit on them from without. God will try Israel during the day of indignation. Yes, he will prepare her for her prophesied millennial kingdom. All that's going to happen. But a single verse in Revelation speaks to the fulfillment of Paul's statement here. Neither will he be sparing you. What do you mean, Paul? What do you mean he's not going to be sparing the nations, the other nations besides Israel? Are you ready for this? Revelation 16:19. I can hardly ever read this verse without getting tears, without being emotional. This is the craziest verse I've ever read in Scripture. It's so pregnant, it's so loaded, and it's such a simple statement. Do you remember the statement back in Genesis? And he made the stars also. Just one little statement, and he made the stars. God absolutely understating the magnificent power, the awe-inspiring power it would take to create the stars. And he created the stars. Listen to this. Revelation 16:19. And the cities of the nations fall. That's the most profound statement in Revelation, if you ask me, as far as the earth is concerned. And the cities of the nations fall. Do you know what this means? It means what it says. Every city in the nations, of all the nations, the great cities, Hong Kong, New York, Sao Paulo, Tokyo, Chicago, Shanghai, Singapore, you name the nation. Paris, London, Buenos Aires, every single building in every single of these nations will fall. The governments will fall and the very buildings themselves will fall because there will be an earthquake of monumental proportions. If you think an 8.5 on the Richter scale is bad, triple it. You ever heard of a 24 reading on the Richter scale? All it takes is a push from God, just a little tiny push, and every single building on this planet falls down. Because this is them. This will be them being hewn from the olive tree. This is no less dramatic than he made the stars also, except it's a prophecy of destruction rather than a statement of production. Both writers, John in Revelation 16:19 and Paul here in Romans 11, they're stating the same truth. They're describing the same event. Neither will God be sparing you, and the cities of the nations fall. You might as well run that right into Revelation 16:19. I'm going to finish this show now. I'm going to show you a picture of Sao Paulo, Brazil. I lived here for a year. I started the Revelation series here, and it's one of the most amazing cities I've ever seen thus far. It's the largest city in the Americas. New York City is number 4 on that list. New York City is number 4. Sao Paulo, Brazil, number 1. When I landed in that city for the first time, I saw the immensity of the landscape. Somebody just took like 100,000 skyscrapers and just threw them out across the landscape. As I walked among the people there, whom I like very much, I feel a kinship for. And I think of as I walked about, I knew the prophecy, and the cities of the nations fall, and I thought every single building in this city is going to be reduced to rubble, just like the temple was in Jesus' day. The temple being destroyed in Jesus' day under Titus of Rome. That was the natural boughs being hewn out of the tree. That was the natural boughs being hewn out. And Jesus said, not one stone will be left upon another one. This prophecy in Revelation, this is the nations who are a wild graft being hewn out of the olive tree. And it makes way, it clears the field, to say the least. It clears the field now for the natural boughs to be grafted back onto the tree. And that will happen, and we're at the brink of it. This is why we're trying to hold on to our peace in Christ, because what I'm describing to you is on the brink of becoming an historical fact. Wait for it.